Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you missed any part of our previous program featuring Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, I urge you to download it and listen to it as soon as you can. Now, you may recognize his name as the author of the bestsellers The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah. Well, he's back with a new project called The Book of Mysteries, and it is life-changing. In this book, Rabbi Kahn reveals spiritual insights and end-time mysteries from the deep truths of God's Word. Now, last time we ended the program just as he was beginning to share some of those mysteries, so here's Dr. Dobson to pick up that conversation right now on Family Talk.
You say there are mysteries in every translation of every book of the Bible. They're all through it. They're hidden. And your purpose here is to reveal those mysteries.
Oh, yeah. And that's one kind of mysteries. There are mysteries of every kind. But yes, that is absolutely
what's there. The biggest mystery in there?
Oh, my goodness. People ask me that all the time. And I can't. But I'll say something that's linked to that. And this is just something here that the principal, you know, there's one point where the teacher takes the disciple into this thing called the Chamber of Books and says, look at all the books. He says, how long would it take you to learn all this? And he says, or learn one shelf. He says, well, 10 years. Learn the whole thing. It would take a lifetime or lifetimes. And the teacher says, that's why you have eternity. He says, because eternity is the length of time it takes to know God. That's why. Mm-hmm. It is never to end. God is the mystery. God is the biggest mystery. In the Book of Mysteries, there's also end time mysteries. And one is this. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be a great falling away. We know that. And that means falling away from faith. But there's a mystery in the word. The original word is apostasia. We get apostasy from it. Apostasia doesn't just mean falling away from faith. It literally means the departure from the state of being. And what that means is in the last days, when you see people falling away from faith, you will also see a departure from the state of being. In other words, you will see men depart from the state of manhood. Women depart from the state of womanhood. Marriage depart from the state of marriage. We are witnessing all these things in this day. And that goes back to the original language of the Bible. And the thing is, because if you take away the word, you know, the creation exists because of the word. Take away the word, creation is going to start falling away. So that is all part of what the Bible says for the last days. And it really goes right along with it, because if a culture turns away from God, then the sign of the covenant, man and woman, which is a sacred thing about, you know, God and us, it's a creation, then that's going to get all out of whack. Then women will say, we don't need men, we don't need women, what that's saying is we don't need God. It's a sign of what's happening in the culture.
And that goes to Romans 1, which lists all these sins and ends with lesbianism.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that point, he says that I will turn them over to a reprobate mind.
And notice how he says it. He first starts talking about man turning away from God. Then he talks about women turning away from men and men turning away from women, because it's the sacred symbol. So it really, in a strange way, it's reflecting what is happening in the culture. It's a perfect reflection of it. And that's why there's a war against gender. That's why children are being told you're not male or female.
That's the next step.
Yeah. It goes back to a mystery that goes back to the Garden of Eden.
And now we're going to pervert children. I mean, that takes my breath away.
Yeah.
Some people don't get excited about that. I saw a prophetic element to that. I'm not a prophet and don't claim to be, but you don't have to be to realize that this was a major departure.
It's gigantic.
From God's plan for mankind.
It's gigantic, and it affects the future. And really, and this will go back to the Harbinger too, that what happened in the last days of Israel, we are watching what is happening in America. And, you know, and this is all part of it. We're seeing things, I mean, even since I was last here, I mean, what has happened in America? There's a guide to teachers, and it says, don't use the hateful words girls or boys anymore. You cannot use those words. You know, the children are raised.
The Navy doesn't use men and women anymore.
It's crazy. And it is, you know, now of the children born of mothers from 25 years old to 31, they say 60% are being born outside of marriage. 6 out of 10 are not going to know the covenant, are not going to know this. But this also goes with what the Bible says for the last days. You know, it says, you know, men shall, you know, it's going against the order of God, you know. And we have to be strong. That's another reason why I wrote this. We have to be strong. This has to be our strongest hour.
Do you see in that mystery and all that you've described a harbinger, if you will, of the coming of Christ and the end of days.
Yeah, I mean, when you read, you know, all right, I'm going to answer that with another mystery, if it's okay. In the book of Daniel, it speaks of the four kingdoms. It speaks of the last kingdom, the fourth creature. And this represents the final state, the final civilization. And the word used in Hebrew to describe it is a word that means unnatural. It says this creature was diverse, different from all the rest. And the word in Hebrew can mean unnatural, artificial. It's not natural. And so one of the greatest signs we're seeing, I would say, of the end times, I'd say two. I mean, people are always trying to find out who the Antichrist is, and they're always speculating and all these things. But this is absolute. One is that Israel is back. That's absolute. And the other one is the apostasy that we're watching, the greatest change we've ever seen in history. This is greater than the change in the Christianization of Rome. This is faster, the greatest falling away from faith, but also the falling away from God's order and the order of being of nature, of what God created. So yes, I do see that. I do see that. And you ask, how long can this keep going?
When you were here the first time, we talked about the harbinger,
yes.
And I want to know if you're continuing to see harbingers. Was that the end all, or
no.
Does the scripture tell us more?
I wish it was the end all, you know, but really the harbinger, and think of the word harbinger, means a harbinger of something to come. And when the pattern in the harbinger is in the last days of Israel, when they're falling away from God, he warns them, but instead of there being revival and repentance, they respond with defiance. And so instead of getting better, they get worse. They become more defiant. Well, when 9/11 happened, it was a shaking, and it looked like there could have been a national revival. People were flocking to churches for 3 weeks, you know, but there was no revival because there was no repentance. And without turning, there can be no revival. So what's happened is—
That's one of the most profound things you've ever said, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's incredible. We were in church. We were worshiping,
yes.
In quotation marks.
Yes.
But we didn't turn.
Yes. And without repentance, you can't have revival for a culture or for an individual. That's part of it. It says repent and turn again. That times are refreshing. Revival will come. You know. So what happened is instead of getting better, everybody's saying, God bless America, God bless America. It was America come back to God. But we didn't. So look what's happened since 9/11 and where we are now. It has grown so much more the other way. But that's exactly the template of the harbinger. That's what happened to Israel. They grew more and more defiant and more brazen. And so here's the thing. You know, when they were falling away from God, they weren't just, you know, promoting sexual immorality. You know, we're doing that. They were offering up their children as sacrifices. We're doing that. They were calling good evil and evil good. We're doing that. They were celebrating evil. And they were beginning to persecute the people of God. Well, we're seeing the beginning of that. So we're doing all those things that were done then. But they were worshiping another god, and the god was in Hebrew called Baal, or we know him in the Bible as Baal. And Baal was the god of apostasy. He's the god of sexual immorality. His worship involved celebrating immorality. That's what was part as sacred. And he was the god of offering up your children on his altar. So all these things. So could the sign of Baal appear on American soil? Could that happen? It'd be very unlikely because most people don't even know about Baal. He's not famous like Zeus, except unless you're a believer, you know. But the amazing thing is it did, and it happened just about a month before we're here together. And I went in to see it, to witness it. And what happened is what they did is they erected the Arch of Baal, which is the arch through which the worshipers of Baal would go through to worship in the temple of Baal. They erected it in New York City, and they did it this past month. And I watched it. You know, they had a big unveiling. They played Middle Eastern music. You can imagine it being played during the worship of Baal. And the deputy mayor of New York was there and dedicating this.
Rabbi Kahn, you were asked to come to Capitol Hill and speak in the rotunda there a year and a half before this construction in New York City occurred, and you talked about it. It was absolutely prophetic. We have a tape of that. Anything you want to say about the setup?
Just it was the day after the Supreme Court was hearing the case on marriage that would change all things. And I was just led that year. There's members of Congress and leaders. I was just led that year. I need to speak about Baal and America at the crossroads between Baal and God, having no idea what was going to happen a year later.
Let's hear what you said.
We've come to a most critical moment. As Elijah stood on top of Mount Carmel and cried out to Israel in his hour of decision in between two altars and two gods, his voice now cries out to America and says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." 70 years ago, the chaplain of the United States Senate cried out with the same voice, and said to this nation, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him and go to hell. Tonight, America stands at the crossroads. And as Elijah came to the summit of Mount Carmel to make a declaration, we've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence. And from this high place, we make this declaration. We will not bow down our knees to Baal. We will not bow down our knees to political correctness. We will not bow down our knees to a morality that is as shifting as sand in the wind. We will not bow down our knees to the laws and precepts of rebellion or the sacred cows of moral apostasy. We will not bow down our knees to the idols of man. We will not bow down to Baal. We will bow down our knees only to the Lord our God, come what may, and we will have no other gods before him. For some trust in chariots, some trust in princes, some trust in Supreme Courts, some trust in White Houses, some trust in governments, some trust in Wall Street, some trust in powers, and some trust in idols. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, in the name above all names, above all kings, above all powers. We will trust in the only name given by which we can be saved. We will trust in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Judge of all judges, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the foundation stone upon which this nation came into existence, and the only answer, the only chance, and the only hope that America has, that it might once again shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God and not go to hell. So help us, God.
What a moment that was. You were speaking prophetically. Did you know it?
Had no idea. No idea.
That a year and a half later, this would occur?
Had no idea. It's just that I was being led that year to speak of that and warn of it. And I know, Dr. Dobson, that when a door opens like that, because the Lord will open up doors for us, even in these days, we have to not hold back and not shrink back, you know. And some people say, well, that's courageous. And no, I'm just more afraid of God than I am of them, you know. So I just felt I had to share that word that day.
My father was a powerful evangelist, and he talked about what you were doing there as being under unction. You ever hear that word, unction?
Yes.
Or ordination.
Yes.
I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was on you.
And I was very physically weak, and I felt like, oh my goodness, am I going to do this, Lord? And you always want to back out. It was almost like I'm watching myself speak, and it's not me doing it, and the Lord just took it. And in our weakness, he's strong. And I pray that be an encouragement for all God's people. Don't be timid. Don't be silent. That's what the enemy wants. God wants you to stand. And if we stand strong, God will anoint you.
But on the other hand, how can a God of justice watch that, looking down on this wicked and evil people in the city where the towers fell?
Yeah.
And see the prophets of Baal, if you will, lifting up the structure that was there so long ago. I mean, the linkage there is just breathtaking.
The Lord is long-suffering, and this is after 60 million children have been offered as they offered up on the altars of Baal. The Lord is long-suffering to watch this. But, you know, one thing of hope, when this happened in the days of Elijah, God did show up, and there was revival, even the days of Ahab and Jezebel, and even the days of persecution. But God will honor his Elijahs, and I believe that we're all to be the Elijahs of the day for such a time as this.
For those that don't fully understand what you just said, say it again, because I want people to get a grasp of what was taking place in New York City that you were prophesying, if you will. Mm.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, if you put it together with that clip that you just heard, it's saying America is standing between God and Baal. And then a year and a half later, they actually erect the Arch of Baal in New York City, which I believe here is a sign. This is the arch through which they went through to worship Baal. It's a sign of a nation. Here, America, like ancient Israel and the Harbinger, turning away from God, the God of its foundation, turning to every other thing that it could worship, turning to immorality, calling evil good. That's what they did in the name of Baal. promoting sexual immorality, offering up its children. We have 60 million children that have been offered up in this land, persecuting the people of God. We're watching that begin. It's a sign of a nation that has known God, but now is turning away from our God and following a spirit of destruction. You know, Baal is the anti-God. Baal is a symbol. I mean, I would never think when I wrote The Harbinger, we would actually see this, because this is such a blatant sign, which is when the nation was heading to destruction, heading to judgment, they were literally building monuments to Baal. Now we have done it, and it's actually right near ground zero where it was done. So I believe, if anything, this is an ominous thing. And the fact that it came after when, you know, you said, choose you this day. Well, in Israel, at least they went back to God for a moment. But now we have put this up, and I believe it's a sign of what is happening in our entire culture. We're watching our culture being degraded. We're watching a spirit of defiance of God, and we're watching the righteous begin to be persecuted, and we're watching a nation calling evil good and good evil. That's Baal.
You know, Rabbi, the very notion of defiance against God is frightening to me.
Yes.
You don't do that.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about the Almighty,
yes,
creator of heavens and earth, and we are defying him in this way?
Yes.
What are we asking for here?
Judgment. And, you know, this is the very template, the last days of ancient Israel. What you see again and again when you read the commentaries on that verse, we will rebuild, that Harbinger scripture, they always use the word defiance. We are doing it in a spirit of defiance. That's not just falling away from God. That's the first step. You put God out and you turn away. But the next step is defiance. We are now moving from a stage of departure from God to defiance of God. And that is much worse. To have done what we did and to have lit up the White House in the colors of the desecration of marriage, that is not just departure, that's defiance. And defiance leads to judgment.
Tell us what the rainbow represents.
The rainbow is the sacred vessel of God that represents his covenant with man. It also represents that he is saying, I want to show you mercy instead of judgment. So here we take that sign where God's saying, you know, I want to show you mercy, and we take that and desecrate that and use that to celebrate the striking down of marriage. That is a double, triple desecration. And it's also, by the way, the rainbow is also the sign of the throne of God, that he's the authority. That's around his throne. And so it's what's saying is that he's not on the throne. We can change the rules. We can redefine man as God, and we'll use his sign to do it. That's desecration. That's defiance.
Do you see other mysteries in the 365 that you have written about in this book that relate to the end time events?
Many do. Let me tell you something that has to do with Israel, if that will go, you know, something with that. There is, and this is kind of positive, positive note. There is, every Sabbath on the Jewish calendar, you open up a scroll in synagogue. A scroll is opened up, and there's a certain appointed passage of scripture that's read that's appointed for that Sabbath, every Sabbath day. People don't know this, but there was actually an appointed scripture that was to be opened and read on May 15th, 1948, which is the date that Israel came back into the world. Israel came back into the world on a Sabbath. And so what was the scripture that was appointed from ancient times that was read all over the world that got from ancient times? The scripture that people don't realize, this is another mysteries, that is the scripture God says, I will raise up the fallen tabernacle of David. I will restore the captivity of my people. I will plant them again in their land, and no one shall uproot them, and they will rebuild, and they will rebuild the land of Israel. And that was appointed for that day. It was read all over the world. People don't realize this. God is so much in control.
So the scripture does point to the day of the return, beginning of the return of the Jewish people.
On that exact day, it was the scripture that God appointed his prophetic word saying, I'm fulfilling this. I'm putting them back in the land, and nobody's going to take them out.
He really is in control, isn't he?
And that's something.
And the scripture really is,
yes,
valid. That's,
yes,
what you're saying to,
yes,
us.
Yes.
The scripture is full of things that could only have come from God Almighty.
Totally. And that's an encouragement to everybody out here. Because when you look at things, it looks like it's out of control. You know, I'm thinking about that. Because you have 1948, things are going crazy in the world, 1948, crazy things. Yet God is working through, for that to happen, God had to work through every event of human history to work it all together for that to happen. In 1967, crazy year. You know, you had all sorts of stuff going on in America. You had Sgt. Pepper with the Beatles. You know, that's the year God fulfilled the prophecy of Jerusalem. So even when we see things going crazy and we think, We got to remember that God is still in control and nothing's wrong with our television set. This is what was prophesied. And so we are actually honored to live in this time. You know, something along those lines. Another mystery along those lines. You know, when God took Ezekiel into the Valley of Dry Bones and said, you know, saw the bones, Son of Man, can these live? And all the bones start rising up and they become an army. And God says, that's Israel. I'm going to restore Israel. I'm going to bring them back to their land. I'm going to open up your graves and make you come alive. Well, there's a mountain in Israel called Masada in the desert. It's the last stand where Israel fought its last stand. It's kind of the grave of ancient Israel. That was where it all ended, in Masada. But for 2,000 years, God had hidden a scripture in Masada. For 2,000 years, with all history going before Columbus, he had that scripture. And they only discovered it when Israel came back into the land. They sent Israeli soldiers on the mountain. For the first time, they're Israeli soldiers again, because that's where they fought. They uncover their ancient grave, and they find a scripture. And you know what the scripture was? The scripture that was hidden was, I will open your graves, my people, and I will bring you back to the land, and you shall again live before me. I will open your graves. 2,000 years, God saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. Everything will change.
That's from Ezekiel.
That's Ezekiel 37. That's the Valley of Dry Bones. Was hidden for 2,000 years. God was waiting, and he's very patient. He waited for 2,000 years to come back.
Rabbi, I find your writings and your understanding of the scripture absolutely breathtaking. It fascinates me. And this book is an expression of all that. I hope you sell 10 million copies because of Christians who have said to themselves, well, he hasn't come. Mm-hmm. It's been 2,000 years. We see no evidence that he's going to. They've lost confidence that he is coming.
Yeah.
And yet when you read the scriptures, you can't miss it. Yeah, I think it also says something about our country. We're not going to recover from this.
Mm.
We're not, I don't know. Do I go so far as to say there's not going to be yet another great awakening?
Well, people ask, well, as long as there's God, there's hope. But if we look at what's happening, I mean, in the natural, I can't see how this turns around except by the hand of God and the intervention of God. And God is always, he's never finished. He's not shocked by what we're seeing. But I do know this, is that in these days, if these are the days of Baal, then we have to be the Elijahs of the day, you know.
Yeah.
And so it could be our greatest time. I mean, not great for America, but it could be our greatest time in that these are the times that produce greatness. It produced the greatest testimonies, the greatest lives. The candle that burns in the dark lights up the world, you know.
So we don't despair.
Never, never despair.
And we continue to spread the gospel as much as we can.
Yes, no matter what. And in good times or bad, and in season, out of season, I believe if we do this, the anointing will be even greater on us. It's the one who stands is the one who will touch the world. It doesn't stop. I mean, and I'll just throw a very quick thing because for hope. And that is that there is a mystery of the end times in the book called The Mystery of the Chiasma. And in a nutshell, it's that God ends things the way he begins things. He makes this parallel. And the beginning of the age, you had Israel. So he put Israel back. In the beginning of age, you had Jerusalem. Jerusalem's back. You had Jewish believers. We're back. We're coming back. We had Jew and Gentile together. We're coming back. You also had an anti-Christian world culture in the book of Acts. And that's coming back. But you also had the book of Acts. And so what it is that the last day believer can't fear persecution because God raises up a book of Acts to counter it. So if we will be, God wants us to be that people. That's why it says the eyes of the Lord are searching the entire earth, looking for the one whose heart is completely his. And that's the one he's going to show himself mighty. And so God is wanting us to become the book of Acts for such a time as this.
You are a faith builder. That's what you want to be, isn't it? You
want to encourage.
Help rebuild encouragement and faith in the Christian community.
We need it, and we are still on the winning side, no matter what it looks like. We are still on the winning side.
We're out of time. I love you, brother.
Love you
Thank
too,
you
Dr.
for
Dr.
what
Dr.
you're doing.
Thank
you have
you.
Another book coming?
I just finished this one, but there will be one. There will be one.
Okay. God go with you,
Thank
and
you,
may
Dr.
he
Dobson.
Continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you so much, and you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Dr. Dobson's interview with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and I pray this conversation has been a blessing and an encouragement to you today. Let me say that we barely scratched the surface of the Book of Mysteries, so if you want to read more of these potentially life-changing stories, I encourage you to go to hopeoftheworld.org. You can also find out more about Rabbi Kahn's speaking ministry and his other books and projects at that site as well, and we have a link for his website on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're there, you can also download the two-day program, or you can access it using the Family Talk app. Now, unfortunately, we don't need Rabbi Kahn's prophetic insight to see that our culture really is turning away from God. Here at Family Talk, we are committed to standing for the truth no matter what. Will you stand with us? Your tax-deductible donations of any amount allow us to create programs just like the one you've heard today, proclaiming God's truth and strengthening the family. Now, you can give a gift online through our secure website at drjamesdobson.org or give a gift over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. And please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your financial support, especially here at the end of the year. And be sure to come back again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.